Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Tide Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, I don't know. What do you think? As we wind down another year, we're all another year older. The markets are another year crappier. We continue to lose the free market system. We continue to be manipulated into oblivion. We continue to see debt rise, Social Security wiped out, health insurance in the toilet. What is the solution to all of this? And, you know, as I said yesterday, I think that you are seeing somewhat of a revolution because of the cryptocurrency space. Now, is that becoming overcrowded now? Have we seen too many people jump there? Is it a bubble? Is it a Ponzi scheme? Okay, there's many out there who don't like the way that it acts. There's many out there who it actually affects directly, namely the central banks and the banks. So is that their reason for calling it a Ponzi scheme or a scam? Is that why those are the words that come out of their mouth? I assure you that they are participating at some level in this business, no matter what you hear on the surface. You know, this is an age old, you know, trick, right? Create a negative structure, create a negative market, and continue to be the buyer as the sellers start to show up. You know, one of the things we know about some of the big banks and some of the big industries is that they can afford to hold on longer and wait for the markets to fiddle around while they are trying to create a potential panic on the other side. So again, am I telling you to run out and buy the Bitcoin or any of them and load up? No, but certainly I would. A certain percentage of your investing capital could go there without any problem whatsoever. But I do think that you are seeing somewhat of a little bit of a revolution here because of it. I think that, again, from a government standpoint, you know, I was in Vegas last week, as you know, and I did a little bit of a survey just with my little group of 35 people that represented, you know, 20 states or 25 states, and said, well, okay, you know, I believe that the economy is not all in that good shape. And I said, what I really want to know is what does everybody here think about that? And can you tell me what your situation is? And I got pretty much the same answer from everybody, that is not very good. Okay. Now I had, you know, bankers represented there. I had farmers represented there. But the one that came out and said that everything is great was somebody who lives in the swamp, Washington, D.C. And that doesn't make sense, right? From a pure logic standpoint, that would not be the place that we'd like to see growing. We would like to see, I mean, we'd like to see everybody growing. We'd like to see everybody having the opportunity to make money. But certainly the swamp should not be the first place. But of course, if you look at a map of the wealth that is held within Congress and within the Senate and the millionaires and close to billionaires that are there, why do you think those people are there? Okay, do you think it's there because they're doing it out of their they're good-hearted? Or are they doing it because they are after the capital, the cash? Now, I happen to personally believe that Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, is there because he just wants to make it better. But I can't say that for a lot of the others. I think that even his staff, many of them are there as a final good deed that they're doing at the end. I mean, you know, if you know who his staff is, they're all billionaires or 100 millionaires in their own rights there. You know, he don't have no poor people working for him. Okay. So I think that, you know, they are there directly, but I think that when you get into these career politicians, when you get into these guys that are trying to, you know, do things that we think are in our best interest, most of the time they are not. And that's where I personally find many problems, is to watch what they do and watch what they're trying to get done. And I can go down to most recently Marco Rubio and his basically ransoming the tax plan so that he could get his welfare stuff through. Now, I don't know what we need child tax credits for. Yes, somebody has mentioned, well, the population is falling because we're not having kids, and the tax cuts are going to be, the welfare reform or tax credit is going to create more pregnancies. Well, I don't want to get into the issue of the political side of this, but I don't know that the people that really need that extra tax credit are the ones that should be, you know, focusing in on, you know, having babies for money. I mean, I think that what we're really having here is an economy that is not growing, okay? And people are afraid because most people want to take care of their children and bring them up in an environment that they feel very comfortable with. And I think what this is telling us is that the environment that we're in today is not very good, with the massive amounts of debt, with the people that are not working, with exactly what we're seeing as we continue to piece by piece strip the middle class of a great life. And I think that is something that has become more of a problem, which for some reason, every news anchor, everybody refuses to address. What about the debt? That's what I want to know. Okay. And I asked you if you've had kids or not had kids. I mean, you know, I just finished raising, well, you never really finished, but both of my kids are now out of school. Both of my kids are now on their own. And certainly I'm going to help them if they need it. I'm not going to, you know, give it to them. But if they need money, whatever, they need help, I'm going to certainly be the guy that's going to be there to help them. But fortunately, they've done well in school and they look to be off to a good start in the business world. But I ask you, you know, the amount of money it cost me to raise these two children was enormous. All right. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I could do it, and I could do it comfortably and allow them to also enjoy a very good life. But, you know, would you do it again? And under the current circumstances of what's going on in the world, I think a lot of people are questioning the fact that can they afford to actually raise children the way they'd like to raise them? And I think that is the story, not whether or not I get a tax credit for my kids. But the point of this is that Marco Rubio, especially since Roy Moore lost, was able to pull that ace of spades and get what he wanted because we could not afford to lose one more vote there. And that's something that I have to look at, and the reason that we get things done. And we get more about on these topics when we come back from the break on The Bubba Show. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we want to remind you to help our youth so that we can change and turn this ship around. And if you want to help me out at highschoolinvesting.com, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And help us out. And we'll, of course, send you some levels, get an autographed copy of my new book, as well as a special webinar that I'm going to do. But certainly, obviously, help us out. We want to make sure we continue to try to educate everybody. And in the meantime, download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm, because we want to make sure that you help us out and get to our 1,000,000 downloads. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Top of Orbit. We're going to step out for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Top of Orbit. Something to say to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And, you know, we're talking about kids and bringing them up, bringing them into this world. And, you know, the Marco Rubio last minute holdup. And you know, the next part of this whole decision process is how bad things really are for the average middle class American, and why what we're doing is not a good setup and not a good situation. And I think that is something that we need to really address, because you know, you're getting to this point where there's too many of these too big to fail businesses and setups. And of course, with the incoming new tax plan, you know, the last time we had a big tax break thing, we had a tax holiday, 94% of that money went back into rebuying stock, and I don't see this to be any different. But I think the next big hurdle is going to be the screw job we are all going to get on this debt ceiling bill. Now, again, this is where I'm concerned about our President Trump, his wanting to do a good job and get some victories. I believe that the next big problem is going to be, I believe it'll be this Friday when they try to get the debt ceiling raised again. And, you know, typically that's where all the crappy bills go in, because this is like a desperate mode here. And I'm afraid that there's going to be a lot of stuff like the Marco Rubio child tax credit for that they just got to get the tax plan passed. Well, now what's going to take to get this debt ceiling done, and what kind of bad deals are going to be? Now, they're not bad deals for them. They are bad deals for America. They are bad deals for you and me. A lot of this phony, crappy, garbage debt that has been created over the years has been done on a lot of these bets, these bills that are brought up, you know, for the debt ceiling, for the fiscal cliffs. And of course, you're basically being held up by a gun, you know, to be forced to vote for something that is terrible. But at the end of the day, I think the one question we all have to ask ourselves, who in Washington, or how many in Washington, in the swamp, really care? Okay. And I think, I don't know if you'd be surprised at the number. I don't think very many actually really care. I think they really care about themselves. I think they really care about padding their own income. I think they really care about taking care of their lobbyists and their big donors. But I don't think they actually really care about America. And to me, I think that becomes, again, the bigger problem, because unfortunately, when your lawmakers don't really give a rat's potato about what's going on, and this is not new. I'm not blaming just the ones in now. I'm not blaming Obama. I mean, you go all the way back in time. You know, you can go all the way back to, you know, when the average age of average living age of 65 switched to 70. Okay. And then you can measure the amount of debt that continues to grow because our lawmakers don't care. Because our lawmakers are full of crap. Okay. Because our lawmakers are doing exactly what is best for them, their constituents, or their lobbyists. Okay. And not what is necessarily best for the country. And I believe that creates even the bigger sad story of where our issues and problems come from, because the lawmakers could care less. Again, it's not about you. And that if you, all you have to do is look at their own private laws, look at the money that they have in their own little slush funds. You know, all of these things are an issue which we refuse to identify as an issue. And I think that becomes the bigger story, because this is exactly what you would figure to happen over time, the way that we see things being done. And I want to know when the average guy, when Joe the plumber, or whenever, is going to have the opportunity to actually compete and be a party to society and to the ability to create his opportunities to take his life to the next level. And that is, I think, where we see the much bigger problem that nobody wants to talk about. But because why? Well, the stock market keeps going up, right? But, you know, from a quality of life standpoint, all right? Again, I could be wrong. I'm not saying that I know this to be factual. I know it to be factual from the circle of people that I know. But from a life quality standpoint, from a excess capital or what's the word? Income? I don't know. I can't remember. But expendable, whatever it is, you know, money that you have that you don't care about, basically, that you'll spend on anything. I don't know that a lot of them have that extra money laying around. And I do not believe that if the tax plan is what they say it is, which I'm not so sure I believe that either, but the people that get money back are not going to pour it right back in the economy. I believe that they're plenty afraid, okay, and there's a lot of fear out there from a spending standpoint, and I think you're going to see that money go back into savings, not go into the economy. I don't believe we're going to see this massive growth because we're not setting up for true growth. We're allowing these companies to put their money into buybacks and things like that. Now, that's the first thing that should be potentially changed is we'll give you these big deductions if you put the money back into the system and not into your account, not into your company, as far as just buying back the stock. Now, I do remember, okay, and this goes back in the day, and I'll compare it to the trading world of options. You know, options used to be very, very liquid, and they trade in and out, back and forth, and everybody trading. But then somewhere in about the mid-80s, they started automating everything, and they started creating all these positions that just sucked all the what they call paper and order flow out, which was sort of the beginning of the end of a lot of the things that we saw. And again, that's more a case of the destruction of the free market system. And I think that has been part of the Fed's mandate, is to destruct the free markets. I think that, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times, but, you know, now with the Bitcoin out there, that is truly a free market because it trades 20 hours a day, is always trading, and there is nobody to manipulate price. Now, certainly, the price can be manipulated by somebody who's got enough money. But that goes for any time and place in the world, is things can be manipulated by the money. But I'm not concerned about the manipulation if the markets will trade freely. So if somebody wants to load up on Bitcoin and create a market scare, well, we as investors, we as traders of it can say, okay, fine, we're not going to buy it. You know, the Hunt brothers, when they tried to corner the silver market, you know, they got trapped because they got forced in because they wouldn't let the markets trade freely. The Chicago Board of Trade made all of the silver market at that time liquidation only. They forced them out. They forced them to lose all their money because they were too greedy to let the markets trade freely. And I think this is something that we can always talk about. It's something that will always be a part of the world, but that should not be done by the Federal Reserve. Okay, the Federal Reserve should have nothing to do with the free market system. They should do just their job, which is the money supply and making sure that they're a backstop. But they're not there to create new money and new wealth for the very rich, which is basically what they have done for the last 10 years, if not longer. This is The Bubba Show. I am, of course, Todd Bubba Horowitz, the guy with the hoarse voice. But I'm here and I'm ready to rock. And of course, we're going to step out of here for a break and remind you to check out libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day. And don't forget to get a hold of Bubba's Daily Update. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and you can download the link to fill it out and get the update for free every day right after the close. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. What did we see on Monday? Well, we saw gold make a run and then close right underneath that key level of 1265. So I think that's interesting. I thought that was interesting dynamics. I think the volatility index closed a little bit higher on the day. And I want you to notice what the VXX did, because everybody likes to trade that garbage. And it is exactly that. It is garbage. And I think that that's something that we need to learn from, that it's probably not a very good product to be trading in unless you're just selling it. Okay. But the new Bitcoin futures were trading. And of course, interesting. There's going to be some arbitraging between the exchanges. It's about a 5-to-2 ratio. The big tick at the CME is $25 a tick, and the little tick at the CBO is $10. So there will be some arbitrage opportunities for those who can make it. Now, again, from a off-the-floor basis, I don't think that you'll be able to make those types of trades, but it is something that will be going on, which will also possibly create some open interest and some volume. So that would be something that we'd be looking for. And of course, I was on Barney yesterday morning, and of course, the big question is Bitcoin a bubble? And of course, I say that the chart pattern right now is a bubble, but I also believe that the Bitcoin will be something that will be, you know, it may not be the Bitcoin, but it will be something that will be around. You know, I think the cryptocurrency is here to stay in some way, shape, or form. I think when you look at it, you've got Romania now talking about maybe possibly taking that as their main currency. I do believe that it's a somewhat of a revolution against the Federal Reserve. So, you know, when we look at the different things, you know, it makes sense. And, you know, guys have been talking about that a lot for quite a while, and there are some changes being made. And I think that's something that we should just look at. Again, I'm not telling you to run out and buy it. I'm telling you to take a look at it and to understand it, okay? You know, not everybody's going to be a believer. You know, we are, as we've talked about many times on the show before, we are a society that doesn't like change. So, you know, we may not see the change. And, of course, not everybody's going to agree. And, of course, we know that those who depend on the cheap money Fed and the things that the Federal Reserve does are not going to be interested in it at all. Okay, or will they be interested in it quietly by not telling anybody? You know, again, these are things that happen all the time. So it's not something that we should be, you know, overly concerned about, nor should we be, you know, thinking about it. I think that this is going to be the natural evolution as things start to change over. So I would look at it from that perspective, you know, what I think. And, you know, again, I believe, you know, I don't have any of it. I never bought any, unfortunately, for me. But it's something that I think is real, and I think we'll be looking at it. I think the markets are doing exactly what we thought they would do. We see a market that is just really kind of, you know, working its way higher. We have the dull drift, although the big spike up early was obviously a little bit more than just dull, but the overall volumes were, you know, after the opening were pretty light. So I wouldn't, again, I believe this is a great time to observe the market. I don't think it's a great time to be actively trading the market. I think this is one of the things that we need to always put focus on from either a trader or an investment standpoint. And I think that at the end of the day, I think that there's not a tremendous amount to do. You've got 7 days after today of trading left for the year. And we know the two Fridays are going to be dead. In fact, I would say that every day is going to be fairly dead. You'll see some action, all right? But again, unless you're there and in it, there's probably not a lot to do. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, there's just not a tremendous amount of action that would want us to get overly involved here. And I don't see a reason to get overly involved here. I think you saw the bonds get cracked pretty good, down again. Now, again, they're not, I shouldn't say down again. They were down about over a point on Monday. And of course, we're back down to those, you know, that 153 level. You know, we've been sellers about the 154 level for quite a while now. And pretty soon, hopefully, we'll get to the point where we'll be sellers at the 153 area, because I think they are going lower. The dollar was, you know, moderately lower, but not a lot to get excited about. Again, the whole day, other than the initial rally, unless you were long coming in, you know, I think everything opened up pretty much near its high tick on the actual opening of the day. I mean, the Dow futures at 9:40, okay, at 8:40, which is by 40 minutes before the close, we're trading at 24,900. And then the actual dead opening of the market, they opened at about 24,881, and then to close at 24,823. So, you know, we're seeing a market that kind of just drooled the rest of the day and closed lower. It made a little bit of a run even lower than that, but then did come back a little bit. But again, I think this is the action you can expect to see. I think if you look at the, actually the pre-market might have had more volume than the actual aftermarket, than the rest of the day. So, you know, you don't want to put yourself in these positions. This is a market that seems to be much more of a challenge right now, and not something that we want to be overly involved in. And again, I think one of the best trades sometimes you can make is the trade of observation, to watch and learn from how the markets are trading and not try to get, you know, too overly involved in what's happening, because there really is just not enough follow through in anything. I think you saw, interestingly enough, I think you saw oil get chirped up, and then it fell down like about 50 cents. But oil was just in a miserable tight range pretty much all day. I mean, if you look at the oil market, you know, from top to bottom, it had just under a dollar range. But if you look at it from the actual, you know, let's say the regular morning, I mean, the high was made at the 4 o'clock this morning. Okay. I think the actual intraday highs were probably, you know, 80 cent range, which is not very big. I think that, again, I'm looking for oil to work its way considerably lower as we work on it. I don't see any real reason to believe that it's going higher as much as they'd like me to believe it's going higher. I just think that, again, the overall markets are extremely quiet, extremely, you know, they're still in the bullish mode. We are in the, you know, the Santa Claus rally mode right now. So for us to decide to get, you know, overly excited about the market here, I think that, you know, that would be a mistake. Now, again, I'm not telling you to sell the market here. I just don't see much of anything to do in general. And I think that's the bigger story, is the ability to sit back and relax and not make a trade here. You know, that also, you know, the markets have a great deal of being able to test your will. And I think they're testing our will now with the overall action or lack of action. So to try to get smart here or to try to outdo it, I think you're making a mistake, you know, unless you're trying to build a longer term position. Now, we've been trying to play for a little bit of volatility out later, okay, and trying to set up positions that would actually create that potential, you know, into a later time frame and using diagonals and things like that. So that would be something that you could look at. Again, your trades, you want it to be relatively safe or as safe as they can be based on what's going on in the market, because there is not a lot of action in the market. And that, I think, is something that we should be very observant of, is that there is not a tremendous amount of action. So we should not expect to see anything out of the ordinary here. Now, again, I'm from the school that I believe that the only action we will see, if it's going to be big, will be to the downside. I think that's something that, you know, we have to focus on. Now, again, I don't think it's going down. That would take, in my opinion, that would take a black swan event. Now, certainly, A, we can't predict a black swan event. B, who knows when they're going to come. So, but I think that is what the markets are actually waiting for, is some sort of, black swan reason to go lower. And until that comes, I don't think you're going to see anything but just a little drift. Now, after the first year, things change a little bit because we get back to real work. So we'll continue to focus on that. And of course, this is The Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, I want to remind you about my high school investing program. What we're trying to do is we're trying to educate our high school students. We're in 300 high schools. We're trying to get to know all of them. But what we do is we give away the software and the whole curriculum for free. And, you know, in fact, one of the things for those of you who give to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, we will give you access to that platform as well, so that you can kind of check it out and see what they're doing, but also maybe learn for yourself. So that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And don't forget to get to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
It's about time.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I'm a real big advocate and fan of education. Okay, now we've talked about the high school program, and that's not what we're talking about now, but we've talked about it. You know, I do it for free. I want to help educate our friends and our peoples. But I think here's what I'm thinking right now. You know, I just did a seminar in Las Vegas, and we had a great time. We had a lot of great people, and everybody got along famously, and everybody had the same objective, is to learn how the markets work. And I think that is something that, you know, we need to, you know, understand, is, you know, really to learn the function of the market. Okay. And I think that is one of the things that we miss out on, is, you know, not taking the time to learn how the markets work, how they function, and what makes them work. And to me, that's a sad thing. I think we need to take our time to learn the different facets of markets and how they work. What is price discovery? Okay. Because really, if you watch, like, for example, the Bitcoin, that is the true, right now, that's the only true free market with a real price discovery involved in it that has no outside effect from something else. And I think that's something that, you know, we need to focus on. As a trader and as an investor, is what makes the markets actually work? What makes things work in our favor? What makes them go against us? And how to exit? When you get on an airplane, the first thing the pilot tells you is where the exit doors are. And I think this is one of the things that we often miss out on, because we don't educate ourselves enough, is the ability to understand the model of the market and the different products that you can trade to get in the market. For example, you can trade stock if you like. You can trade options if you like, and you can trade futures or commodities. Now, depending on what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish, I think that would help you decide on what you actually wanted to trade at that particular time. Certainly, if you're going to be a much shorter-term trader, you would want to focus in on the futures. And, you know, everybody gets nervous. The futures are so risky and blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not that risky. They're not any riskier than anything else. Remember, if you use the discipline to get in and out of the market, then nothing's any more dangerous than anything else. And I think that's one of the things and one of the areas that many of us make that key mistake is we don't use our tools and our knowledge and our education in the markets to make it best for us. And that is something that, you know, for example, you know, we have a futures course and we teach, you know, part-time day trading. Well, I've developed actually in the process of developing some software that will also now automate some of that trading, because the biggest problem in trading is what? The emotions that we get caught up in. The emotional baggage that we all carry with us, number one being an opinion, including me, all right? Again, this is not to pick on anybody here. This is including me as well. Our opinions many times get in the way of good, solid trading. And I think that's something that we all need to focus on and learn from, is not to let our personal feelings get in the way. I think another big thing is news items. You know, yesterday I was, you know, doing some reading and I'm looking at, and I see that, you know, it was at 12:07. A story came out about oil and how it should start to rally. And of course, oil immediately fell about 50 cents. Now, again, I urge you not to get involved in the news. I urge you not to listen to what everybody says. I urge you to let the technical parts of the chart show you what should happen next. Now, again, is that a guarantee, right? No, but it gives you a better shot. Remember, what we're doing as traders is we are trading a probability model, okay? Whether you're trading stock, options, or futures, you are still trading the probability of what is the market going to do next. And when you decide that you have become smarter than that market, or you're going to start to listen to outside news, remember this, old Bubba told you. By the time you get the news, you're the 1 millionth person to get that news. So how good can you trade from there if everybody else has got the news in front of you? And I think that is something that we continue to talk about and discuss because of the importance of what happens in the market. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's how you understand the technical aspect of all markets. And this is where many of us get into trouble by not understanding the footprint, because all markets leave some sort of a footprint. You know, when you, even for Christmas, the stores are using old information, old sales that create a general footprint that helps them buy for this time of year. All right. So the footprint goes to everywhere. I mean, even to your own grocery shopping, you don't realize it, but you buy the things you think you're going to go through without getting spoilage, right? So you buy enough food so that you can get through however often as you go grocery shopping. And you're using a footprint from your own, in this case, your family, to see how many groceries you're going to use. So the market footprint is always there, right? But again, it's the same in stocks. You can see certain areas where we see support, we see resistance, we see opportunity. And I think this is something that we as traders and investors need to learn better, because it all fits into the overall model of what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that's where many of us make the key mistake of not following the guidelines that are right in front of us. And I think that is something that goes with any product. You know, again, you know, if you follow the news, you'd have been buying oil all the way up and you'd be pretty unhappy right now. Right? Whereas if you were following the footprint, you might have seen, well, hey, it's not time to buy yet. And maybe now we're getting to a spot where we might want to sell it. And that is always the issue that is needs to be in focus for you, the trader and the investor, is a solid market footprint, whether you're trading 5-minute charts or you're trading 5-month charts. That is something that we need to take better care of so that we can give ourselves a better opportunity to be successful in the long term. Okay. Again, if you remember that what we're doing is a probability model, if you always put the probabilities in your favor, what you're really doing is giving yourself the best chance to create success on a regular basis. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but again, we try to, you know, work and learn that, you know, that's one of the goals I always work for when, you know, I'm doing the show here, is to remember to remind everybody how you can kind of help yourself. Because markets do give clues. And if you're one that can absorb those clues and realize the clues that you're getting, all you're really doing is giving yourself a much better opportunity. And I think that's something that we miss out on because of all of the information that is out there. We forgot about the basics of how markets work and how they function. And I think that becomes the bigger story. And that's where we need to focus as traders. Because again, right now, I would say to you that now, this time of year, there's even the footprints are kind of muddled in snow. There's just not much to do. All right. And you know, my recommendation to everybody would be to kind of sit back and not do much right now at all. I mean, you know, again, I wouldn't even be here if I was on the trading floor. So I think that's something for you to think about. Okay. And something else for you to think about is to make sure you get Bubba's daily update, because that's not the news. That's giving you the market footprint as I saw him that day and how I see him for tomorrow. And all you have to do that is go to BubbaTrading.com and a little box will pop up and you fill it out. It's free. I'll email it to you every day. Okay. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I have stuff to sell you, but I'm not trying to sell anything there. I'm trying to give you something to help you out. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. Always there for you. And of course, we love when you listen and we're trying to get to 1 million downloads. So in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.